Blog Talk Radio. take over yourself when nobody else speaks life into you. You speak it for yourself. Through your tongue flows the issues of life and death. Many times in our lives, we're never told, good job, or I appreciate you, or never hear anyone say, I love you. But I want you to know that Jesus loves you. In fact, that Jesus loves you more than you love yourself. Jesus' love that he has for you is unlimited. It's undiluted. It can't be turned off. When Jesus loves you, you can walk around and not have a frown on your face, or walk around with your head up high, because you know that as long as you got King Jesus, you don't need nobody else. Hello, hello, hello. It is Sunday, June 24th. I am your host, sanctified and set apart with a shot of the Holy Ghost. I am Pastor D. Townsend, and welcome to the Jubilee Affair, brought to you by the HubNet Online Network. This is God's show for God's people. As always, I am joined by the good brother Hakim Nuba.
Hey, good evening, sir. How are you today?
All is well, doctor. All is well. How about yourself?
I am doing amazing today.
Amen. Amen. That's what I like to hear, doctor. It is truly a blessing to be before you today. If you are in need of prayer, you can contact us on the Jubilee Affair Facebook page. You can tweet the show. You can tweet the HubNet Online Network. But the quickest way is to call. Call the show. The number is 646-787-1798. Again, that is 646-787-1798. And if you have a desire to speak, all you have to do is press the number 1 and you will be put in queue. Amen. I always like to open up my show with a word of prayer. Let's have a prayer. Father God, we thank you for this wonderful day, a day that we've never seen and a day that we'll never see again. I just know, Father, that you are in the blessing business. I know, Father God, that somebody will be blessed by the words today. I ask right now, Father God, that you will open up the floodgates of heaven on our lives. Father, that you will open up blessings, Father, to flow, and let somebody be redeemed on this day. I ask, Lord, that you will bless Brother Hakim in all his endeavors, Father, as he seeks to go higher, Father, that you will hold his hand, that you will guide him and lead him to prosperous land, Father, to fruitful land, Father, that whatever he touched, let him have the Midas touch. Whatever he touched, let it turn to gold. And I ask right now that you will keep the enemy away from him, Father God, and keep those away from him, Father, that seek to do him harm but smile in his face. We thank you for his life and for his ability and for his willingness, Father. Bless him right now and keep him. Father, I also pray for our leader of this network, Father, Sister Michelle, that you will continue to show her, Father, true blessings, that you will continue to show her favor, that you will open up doors for her, Father, that have never been opened up before. Father, she will just be a blessing to all those whom she come in contact with. Touch her right now, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. And, Father, while I'm praying, Lord, I pray for myself, Father, that you will touch me, that you will continue to show me your will and your way. And, Father, keep giving me some mercy, Father, because every day I need it, Father. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you, Father, for calling me to this ministry, because I don't know what I would do without it. So, Father, have your way in our lives, in this journey, in everything that we do. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week before last, we had a Bible giveaway. And Sister Michelle won the Bible, but she wanted to give it to somebody else. So I'm here to tell you that we're going to do it one more time. So the question for this evening is, when God shows his power in a supernatural and unusual way, such as the burning bush, the talking donkey, etc., what is that called? There's a word that we use, and I want to know, what is that called? At the end of the show, I will give you an opportunity to call in so that you can try to win this Bible. This Bible will be autographed and signed, amen, and it will be shipped right to you. As always, I am excited, I am happy, and I am full of joy. My prayer is that you are too. It is my job to release the captives, to teach God's word, to stand on his promises, and to be a shoulder to those who need someone to lean on. I don't take that lightly. My job is to help all those who I come in contact with. If you are in need of anything within my power, contact me. Let me know. If I can pray for you, if you're dealing with an issue, if you're dealing with an addiction, if you're dealing with an affliction, call me. We can pray. I'm here for you. I am a servant to you. It's who I am, and it's who I will always be until my last dying breath. I love you with all my heart, and I love you with the love of God, and there is nothing that you can do about it. Words that I want you to study this week. I want you to study on living a godly life. Throughout the whole Bible, you will find that God tried to get those whom he loved and whom he dealt with to live a life before him that was worthy of calling themselves one of God's children. And so I want you to study on that this week, living a godly life. I want to know if you know what it really means to live a godly life. As I continue on, I have to say this. I said it this morning in church, and I'll say it here on this show, that I am heartbroken with the leaders of this great nation. My heart hurts to see children in cages, or what they call them, holding pens. The greatest gift to man, to woman, to a family is a child. To have to see children, babies, without their parents. If you have ever seen a baby, and when they don't see their parents around, the cry that comes out of their mouth is a cry of despair, of hurt, of feeling lost. I don't care if you blue, black, white, green, or red. No one should be without their child. It angers me to see that these immigrants are placed, the adults are placed over here, and the children are placed. This evil needs to stop. I'm fully aware of why it happens. I'm fully aware of what's going on, but something needs to change. I'm sick and tired of seeing people hurt, people complaining, people are going through all of this crazy stuff just because they're trying to have a better life. Now, maybe their motives might have been wrong or how they did things might have been wrong, but you don't punish a person by taking their child and placing their children in pens like they're animals. It angers me. I am not a father, but I am a spiritual father to many. And I can't even imagine being separated from the children that I do see. It angers me. Yes, pastors do get angry. And I know that this has to happen so that everything can be in line for Jesus to return triumphantly and to wipe this world clean. I'm aware of all of that. But that doesn't mean that I have to like the situations that go on when it do not have to happen. It's frustrating to me. Now look at our leaders who can have just a look on his face and think that it's okay. But what would he do if it was his child? What would he do if it was his wife? What would he do if he saw his child in a holding pen? Wake up, America. It is time to wake up. It is just, I don't mean to go off, but I just have to get this out. I have to get this out. As we continue on, I had a question I was asked of me last week. If I'm not mistaken, the question was a person had some extra cash and two people were asking for money, a white man and a black man, and this person gave the money to the black man and not the money to the white man, and they asked if they were wrong. Yes, because God does not see color. We as Christians don't see color. We are supposed to help everybody and anybody that we can. Now, I understand why it was easier to give to the black man because, you know, we know the struggle, but the white man struggles sometimes too. I don't see every white person riding around in a Mercedes Benz and any you know, with a mansion. I don't see that. Now there are some, just like there are some blacks. But we should help everybody. The next time that you are presented with that option, split it in half and give half to each. And see what God will do for your life. Amen. I just got another listener question. It says, Pastor, what do you do when you are under the attack by Satan? Well, I want you to always understand that Satan's attack, it never stops. Satan will attack you all day, every day. But what do you do to fight it off? Well, first, you have to be prayed up. And I'm not just talking about praying while you're in the season, but praying when you're out of the season. You have to pray all day, every day. I want you all to know that a prayer If you just say, thank you, Jesus, that's a prayer. Prayers don't have to be long and drawn out because God knows what's going on. But if you pray and you read your word, if you read your word every day and you pray, I promise you, those attacks, you will be able to look at those attacks and keep it moving. Because you will know that the enemy is trying to get you exactly when you're at your most vulnerable. I was just talking to the good brother Hakim, and I was telling him that Satan attacks you also when you're at that moment of your breakthrough. When you're at that moment where God is about to bless you with something really, really big, and Satan wants to rip it from you. Because Satan don't want us to be blessed. So you need to read your word. You need to study your word. You need to learn your word. You need to pray. And when you pray, you need to pray a prayer. I'm going to give you a prayer to pray when you're going through something. And that's the Psalm 91. Psalm 91, if you read that psalm every day, I promise you, you'll find that God's protection will be all over you. Pray that prayer and read that scripture. And I promise you, things will work themselves out. But you also have to have a solid relationship with God. You have to have a solid relationship with God through Jesus the Christ. You need to have ammunition and backing in order to be able to deal with the things of this world. I love it when a person says, I don't have to go to church to be saved. Well, you know what? You don't have to go to church to be saved. It's all in your confession and your belief. However, in order to deal with the things of this world, you need to be able to be around those who also share in the burdens that you share in. How can you be lifted up if you do not know that somebody else has either gone through or at the end of it or are going through at that very moment? And you can pray for one another. That's what church is all about. Church is a hospital for sinners and a spiritual empowerment for believers. Another question comes in and it says, Pastor, our kids are being attacked. How do you handle that? Who will be shot next? Well, let me start with the second question and I'll work my way to the first one. I cannot say who will be shot next. I hope nobody is shot next, from our children to any adults. But how do we handle our children being attacked? Well, our children need to see us with a right relationship with God. How do we handle that? We know the evil. We cannot stop the evil intentions of man. But we can deal with it by clinging to God. We have to run to God, cling to Him. Hold Him and let Him hold us. I can't put it into words how it feels and to hear that our children are being killed. But you know what? It has happened since the beginning of time, and it will happen well after we're gone. But you know what? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when you remove God out of the mix, you get chaos. I said it a couple weeks ago, that when you remove God out of a situation, you get damnation. God was removed out of our schools. God is removed pretty much out of our houses. God is removed off of TV. Jesus is mocked. They mock Jesus in every chance that they get. But yet again, they run to God the minute that something crazy happens. Why is that? You cannot have God in a box and then cry when things don't go the way you want it to go. So what I would suggest and what I urge you to do is, if you know Jesus, then you should be praying a prayer over these children, prayer of safety, that God will watch over them, that God will hold them, that God will protect them, that God will lead them. Instill it in our children that it is important for you to get a right relationship with the good master. It's time for us to stop being our children's friends, stop allowing them to make their own decisions, and make the decisions for them. When I was growing up, I didn't have a choice whether or not if I wanted to go to church. In fact, if you didn't go to church, you didn't do nothing that whole day. And it instilled something in me. Nowadays, we're the parents, and we didn't like being ushered into church and made to go, so we say, I'm not going to force my child to go. But yet again, where are the roots being planted? We got to plant them roots. We have to give them a foundation. That's the best way to answer that question. Because if we do what we need to do, I promise you, a change will happen. But it's up to us. Amen. I love questions. So if you have questions, continue to send them in. And I hope that I answered your questions to the best of my knowledge. Before I go into this word for today, let me read scripture. And it comes out of the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning with verse 11. And it reads, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know as also I am known. Now abideth faith and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. May God continue to bless the reading of his holy word. Pray with me. Father God, I thank you for this time. It's me, your most humble servant. I decrease so that you may increase. More of you, less of me. And I thank you, I honor you, and I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. For my subject today, there is still a piece missing. When I was a child, the greatest thing in this world to me was the time that I had to play with my Lego set. To me, my Lego set was better than eating and or breathing. I would play with this Lego set from sunup to sundown, and I would build these great buildings and cars and ships and structures, and I believed it to be the greatest thing ever. But as I would take a step back after building, I always found a discrepancy in my work. I always found that there was something that could have been done different and or better. I always found that there was a piece missing. Most times I would tear it down and restart my build. As frustrating as it was, I found also extraordinary joy in rebuilding and restructuring my buildings and my giant structures. However, later, as I became a man, I put away my childlike desires. My Lego set became outdated, and the only time that I felt any type of sensation when dealing with my Legos was the excruciating pain that I would feel when I stepped on one. Being a man, I looked in a mirror and I saw this great big body that God has given me. It's strong and it's mighty, but it's flawed in a way. There is still a piece missing. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, informed them that it was time to remove all hate, all malice, strife and envy, jealousy and spite, and replace it with love. Paul explained to them that this same love will elevate you from being a child or having a childlike tendencies to becoming a fully grown creature in Christ. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says, "For you have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your bodies. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own?" But let us discuss this theme called love. While God had his way in the life of Paul, it can be said that it was the love of Jesus that changed the heart of Paul, that it was the love of Jesus that picked him up and dusted him off. And through it all, that it was not that Paul was so great or that Paul had true potential. It was that Jesus saw that there was something missing in Paul's life. In fact, there was a piece missing in Paul throughout all his years before he got to know who Jesus was. When I think about this love, I'm reminded about John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." What am I saying? I'm saying that through all the beauty and splendor that this world has to offer, there was still a piece missing. Jesus was and is the plan to salvation, the key to that master lock, the window that opens when all the doors of life are closed in your face. Somebody needs to hear that today, amen? Let me repeat that. I say that Jesus is the plan to salvation, the key to the master lock, and the window that opens up when all the doors of life are closed in your face. He is my life preserver in the midst of a raging sea, my covering during a downpour of the rain. He is the light of the world, and at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess his greatness, his joy, his love, and that he is Lord. Hebrews 9:15 says, "For this reason, he, Jesus, is the mediator of the new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance." As a child, I could not fathom such truths. But now, as an adult, I have learned that Jesus is the reason for my season, and that the truth will set you free. I cannot see my life without the love of Jesus. But let me be frank. I am a man, born and bred, but I am smart enough to know that if I do not have Jesus in my life and on my side, that I am like a broken-legged horse trapped in quicksand. Paul urged the Corinthians and us, the readers, to shift our thoughts from breast milk to solid food. When you look at the life of Paul, it can easily be said that he himself had many issues while trying to serve God. Paul even admitted that his fight would be a fight until his dying day, that Paul himself had to overcome the dark side of his ministry. But once Paul shifted from a carnal thinking to an outright praising of Jesus, he was able to use his dark side as fuel for the fire. The fire that I speak about is that Holy Ghost fire. Paul even said, though I have all the power in this world, that there are times that there's still a piece missing due to my sinful nature. But I press forward anyhow. 1 Corinthians 14:20 declare, brethren, do not be children in your thinking, yet in evil be infant, but in your thinking be mature. I am here to tell somebody on this day that there is still a piece missing. I know that there are times that Jesus may seem so far away, that there are times that Jesus may be knocking at your door, and that there are times that you hear him knocking at your door and you do not want to answer it. If Jesus is tugging at your heart, if you hear that little still voice calling out to you, then know that there is still a piece missing in your life. But do not think that I am throwing shade at you. I hear that little small voice calling out to me every day, all day. And I'll be the first to admit that there have been times when Jesus has had to come in and plug up some holes within my life. But glory be to God that whenever a hole appears, it pushes me closer to Jesus. After a while, I find myself face to face with the Almighty, and I cling to him, and I hug him like I hug my dear wife, not wanting to him go. And I find myself like Jacob, him, that I will not let him go until he blesses my life, that I will not let him go until I see the sunshine that he gives me, I will not let him go until I see a difference in my life. Move me from a child and make me how you would have me to be. You see, what I find amazing children is that a child cannot hide their jealousy, their anger, and their dislikes. There are some adults that cannot hide their jealousy, their anger, and their dislikes. But I'm here to let you know, as a Christian, we don't have to be concerned about our jealousy, our anger, and our dislikes. And we don't have to worry about hiding them either. But all we have to do is hide behind that old rugged cross. I'm here to let you know right now that your faith and your hope can push you behind that cross. And while you're there at that cross, your faith will feed you, your faith will give you drink, your faith will cover you, and the hope of Jesus will sustain you. And all you have to do is stay there and wait. And all you have to do is trust in God and know that God will make a way for you out of no way. There's somebody right now who has been suffering. There's somebody right now who's been dealing with. There's somebody right now who's been afflicted with. There's somebody right now who's been addicted to something. And I'm here to let you know right now that, yes, there's a piece of you that is missing, and that piece belongs to Jesus. And Jesus says that if you will allow him in your life, that he will come in and he will fill you up. He will give you something to drink. His bread, you will never go hungry. His water, you will never go thirsty. I'm here to let you know right now that greater is he that is in you than he that is of this world. And if you are going through it right now, look at yourself, look at your heart, and see, is there a peace missing? When God seems so far away, you have to remind yourself, do a reflection on yourself, and know that there is something missing within your heart, that there is something that God is trying to tell you, that there is something that God wants you to see. And I'm here to let you know right now that there is a peace
missing. This now time for restructuring and rebuilding, just like those Legos. Let God build you up. Let God hold you up. And I promise you, even though you may be flawed in some areas, God will never tear you down like I did those Legos, but God will continue to build you and build you and build you. And all you have to do is give your life over to him. And when those holes come in, when those holes appear because of our sinful nature, glory be to God. When those holes appear, let Jesus fight your battles. The greatest of all the things that Jesus can do in your life is love. There's a piece missing, but let Jesus love you. I'm here to tell you right now that Jesus is waiting for you. He wants you. He loves you. But it's time to reflect on your life and ask yourself, is there a piece missing? May God bless you on this day. Brother Hakim, do we have anybody on the phones who may want to give a word?
Yes, I believe Brother Darius has been holding for quite some time. We're going to bring him on now.
Amen. Welcome to the Jubilee Affair, Brother Darius.
Hey, good evening, Pastor Townsend.
Good evening, sir.
Yes, and I caught what you, the very beginning, what you were talking about with about the situation with the immigration.
Yes, sir.
And I like to throw something in there, like what Trump says, he wants to make America great again. I like to probably reverse that and make up my own stance and say, we need to have God again in this world.
Amen. Amen. That is absolutely right. By the world standards, we need to make God great again.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry. I sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No. I just want to say, because that's the mission of the church, is to make God great again before this world. Amen.
Yes, and your sermon title, when you're talking about the parents, about the children obeying their parents, I was teaching Sunday school, and I referred to Exodus 20 about the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes,
and
verses 1 through 17.
Absolutely, and when it says also that parents, that children should obey their parents, and let me just say something about that real fast. I'm gonna take just a minute about that. Your parents in your life, you should honor them, you should love them, give them all that you can, because they gave you all. Now, granted, now, this is for the young people that's listening. You did not ask to come into this world, but you were a blessing to those whom had you. Honor your parents, and your days will be longer on this earth. But the time that you stop honoring your parents, it becomes reversed. That means that when you don't honor your parents, your days become shorter. Every day you dishonor your parents, you lose a day. Love your parents, and your days will be longer. Amen.
Amen.
What else you got for me, Brother Darius?
I would just like to say that with everything going on this week alone with the immigration, the 17-year-old poor teenager that got killed in Pittsburgh, and a 9-year-old poor 9-year-old girl got killed in Cleveland, that God is missing. I came up to the conclusion in the last few years, I've been saying, you know what? I said, God is missing. Because Satan is in this world just sowing damnation, sowing division. Just like, it starts at the top at Trump. And I just say, no other president I know, I disagree with their policies, but they never acted ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you're sowing division of seat, division, confusion. Is this world so confused and divided? It's pitiful.
Amen.
And I'm fearing, I hate to say that I'm fearing one day that with all these issues going on, is going to be one of them rare things you'd be just saying, and you'd be saying, where is Jesus when you really need him?
Amen. Brother Darius, I agree with you that there are times that, you know, he says some stuff that's very unfitting of a president. He does things that's unfitting of a president. But as you are a study of the word, as I am, we know that these things have to happen for Jesus to come back. But it is our job to try to pull as many people in to show them the truth. And we are so divided as a people because we hear all of these different being revealed Jesus is that there was this person that took the Christianity was not this and white man's religion and all this and all of that. Jesus is real. I'd rather live my life believing and die than die and not believe. I'd rather live knowing and believing. Because what happens? What do you say if you truly die this day and your eyes open up and you see Jesus with the holes in his hands, the holes in his feet, the piercing in his side, and he says, my son, my daughter, I have loved you always, and I've always wanted you to be with me, but you denied me. What would you say? What would you do? Because at that moment, there's no going back. I said it this morning, while the blood is still warm in your veins, you have an opportunity to give your life over. Because if you die and you find out that he's real, there's nothing to be said. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Darius, for your words and your insights. It's greatly appreciated. You always come with some good knowledge, Doctor, and I greatly appreciate you.
Thank you.
No problem, sir. Brother Hakim, do we have anybody else on the line? Brother Darius, you're more than welcome to stay with us if you would like to, sir.
We have a few folks on the line, but no one has pressed the number one, signifying that they want to come on. If you want to get a prayer in, you want to say something about the pastor's beautiful words and powerful words, then now's a good time. Press the number one. We'll get you through, and you can say your piece. We have a little under 10 minutes of the show left, so now's a good time. So you're going to do it. Let's do it.
Amen. And let's not forget, we're giving away a Bible. Amen. I need to know what that word is. That when God does something supernatural and unusual in an unusual way, what is that word called? Such as the burning bush and the talking donkey with Balaam. What is that word Somebody tell me what that word is, and you will get a Bible signed and autographed by yours truly. Amen. Is there somebody that wants to give a word?
Well, I have a question. I have a question, if that's okay.
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, as you addressed throughout the show, we're in a tough situation here in this country, and I do see a lot of godly men such as yourself coming out. But from your perspective, do you think that we should see even more of an influx of pastors, religious community coming out, taking the forefront, you know, being on a, you know, in my opinion, I think they should be spearheading this. It's almost like a battle of faith and righteousness in this country. So I just wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, you know, yes, I do believe that. I do believe that there is an influx of pastors and spiritual leaders on the rise. I do believe that the church should be more influential when it comes to the workings of this country. However, because this country was supposedly, in some form or fashion, built off of Christian ethics and beliefs. So when we say that, I would definitely say yes. But we do know that there is a separation of church and state. But I do believe that here's how I answer that question. The only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for the good men to do nothing. And when the good men do nothing, evil reigns supreme. So I say that to say, yes, here on the Jubilee Affair, and everywhere I go, I'm a battlefield preacher. I touch the hearts of the people with what they deal with. That's my ministry. That's my call into this ministry, is to touch the hearts of the people who are hurting. And I believe that the church has become warm, and we're not speaking up enough. I want some more sermons being preached on what's going on in this world and how we need to fight off the evil in this world. Now, I can't tell nobody what to preach in their pulpit. I'm just speaking for myself, and this is what I do. But I feel that we need to do things a little differently. And if we started within our own churches, what we have to start doing, Brother Hakim, I'm going to tell you where it starts, Doctor. It starts with our children. Every generation that comes in has to be taught. We have to bless our generation that we have now. Instead of calling them crazy names, talking to them nasty, treating them nasty, we got to start blessing. And that will change things. It will begin to change things. Our children give us life as we give them life. Something needs to happen within these churches. Something needs to go forth. The good men are not doing nothing because most of the good men are tired. Something needs to take place. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Do we have anybody that may want to give a word before we close up? We got 5 minutes now.
Actually, we got 4 minutes.
4 minutes. 4 minutes. Amen.
You better get it in while you can, folks. Come on. This time is set to the side for you guys. Presto, number one. Try to get yourself that Bible. And I'm sure there's some folks out there who may need they may need a prayer and they don't even know it. You know,
amen.
They may just be sitting back, seeing that this person is going through the trials and tribulations of life, and it wouldn't hurt you just to say, hey, go bless my friend.
Amen. Amen. Well, and let me do this while we wait. And Brother Kim, you can please let me know if somebody chimes in. I want to bless everybody within the sound of my voice right now. I add a blessing. I ask God to remove a blessing from me and put a blessing on everybody who is listening to this radio broadcast right now. If you're listening to it while it's in podcast or if you're listening to it live, know that I've added a blessing. I give a blessing to you freely. May God bless you all and may God touch you. And I pray that you will receive this blessing in a supernatural way that you've never thought before. Let it be something that you've asked God for. Let it be something that you're expecting God for. I want you right now to know that I give up a blessing for each and every one of you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right, now we have 2 minutes. And the show is over. This is your time.
Yep.
This is your time, and I am actually surprised that nobody has won this Bible yet. Amen. I think I guess I need to take it a little higher. Amen. Well, next week we're gonna give away 2 Bibles.
Uh-uh.
Amen. I'm gonna up the ante. We're gonna go 2 Bibles next week. Amen. And if you know the answer to that question, I was expecting one of my students was going to call and give it out, because I know one of my students is listening and I know she know the answer. Amen. So, but amen.
Could,
it's all right. It's all right.
Could you ask the question one more time?
Yes.
Just one.
What
so we can.
Yes. What is the name? What is the word when God shows up and He shows His power supernaturally in an unusual way, such as the burning bush, talking when He spoke to Moses through the burning bush, or when He spoke through the donkey? What do we call that in the Christian world? What is that? What is that called? It's called what?
Hmm.
And if you,
oh well,
you want to take a crack at it, Doctor?
I don't know why, but in my mind, I always think of transfiguration. But I know that's probably not.
it's not, but that's a good word, Doctor. That's a good word, but close, but it's not.
Huh?
That's not it. I'm gonna tell you once we get off the air.
Cool.
And I'm gonna see you. And I'm gonna still see your Bible anyway.
I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, we have reached the limit. Amen. And it is time for us to go on. But I pray that you will be blessed. Continue to seek God on behalf of brother, my good brother, Hakim Nuba. This is Pastor D. Townsend signing off. God bless you.